To start recording.
You're
Yes,
good
we
to
are. All right. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Trustees, Westmont Public Library on Tuesday, January 19th, 2021 at 7:02 p.m. Roll call, please. Oh, wait, sorry, before roll call. We have determined that an in-person meeting is not practical or prudent because of the public health disaster declaration in Illinois. This virtual meeting is open to all and is also being recorded. And finally, in an effort to provide even greater transparency, all votes at this meeting will be taken as roll call votes. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Here.
Trustee Carmichael?
Here.
Secretary Delano?
Here.
Vice President Martins? I think you're muted, John.
Yes, here.
There you go. Treasurer O'Connor?
Here.
Trustee Parikh?
Here.
President Fichtel?
Here. And before the pledge, the biggest trooper award goes to John. I mean, come on. So, all
right. You like my dress?
Yes. Total dedication to our board to show up. So. Now on to Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On to the approval of the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the regular board meeting of December 15th, 2020, the communication log of January 2021, and the director's report of January 2021.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda.
Second, John Elaine.
And Elaine, discussion? Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays. Motion passes.
Thank you. On to open forum. Welcome, Cindy, I think. Is who I see there from the village, yes. Board, in the order I see you, Elaine.
I don't have anything today.
Thank you, Rajesh.
I don't have anything today. I'm still out of state in California. So thank God for the, you know, the Zoom meetings that I'm able to participate.
Thank you, Heather.
Nothing really. I saw the notice about the teen board, the call for participation. So I'm trying to get one recruited here at home, but like everything I suggest, she takes it with a lot of skepticism. So do what I can.
Thank you, Carrie.
Nothing tonight.
Annie?
Two things. One is that I looked over the questionnaires for the director's evaluation from last year. I think it's fine. The questions are generic enough. I mean, the events this year with the pandemic will skew the results, like will result in different types of answers than we've had in the past, but I didn't, I mean, as expected, but I didn't see a reason to, you know, rewrite or change anything. So I just updated the links and the dates and as far as deadlines and stuff and got that to Brittany. And so unless anyone had any concerns tonight, then otherwise it's just going to go out tomorrow. And then people have, like, I don't know, 2 weeks or something like that to respond. And then I'll compile it and get it out before the next month's meeting. So, and the other thing is, not that it's new news, but we took advantage of the curbside bundle the other day because my after Christmas, we had had so many, like an excessive amount of library books at our house, and I just cleared them all out, returned them all. I felt so much better. And then the kids were like, we have nothing to read, even though we own a million books. And so I had to request a curbside bundle, and Elizabeth got us like the best books. My kids were so happy. We sent the library a photo, and Christy was very appreciative. So we were appreciative, obviously. So thank goodness my kids have books to read again. So thank you to the youth department.
Awesome. And John?
Nothing tonight.
All right. On to our director, Julia.
I don't have much to report. I'm going to leave that for the conversation under the agenda items. But I will just mention quickly that tax season is upon us. So as everything this year, they were delayed, but they have been shipped to us. They're automatically shipped to us every year. So if they're not back in the receiving room yet, we should be receiving those shortly. So we always every year get a lot of questions about those. So we'll have those, the standard forms, staff print on demand, any different schedules that folks might need. So that's always a great service that we provide. And then also just to mention, we are a polling place in April. So we talked to the election commission. We're a regular polling place. So we're always a polling place unless there's no primary, which there's not this year for the local election. So we will be a polling place in April. It is typically a lower turnout event. So as we get closer to that, we can kind of see what's going on with the pandemic and make any changes as far as service goes. But it went smoothly in November. And so I expect the same in April, but just to mention that is coming up and we have it on our calendar. So that is all that I have for general updates.
You, Brittany.
Nothing today.
Didn't have time to drink my water. Julie.
Nothing.
Guess I'll just put that down. All right, thanks. Then onward to additions and deletions.
Move to add the additions and delete the deletions.
Second.
Heather and Annie, discussion. And Doug, roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
On to the Treasurer's Report.
Move to file a Treasurer's Report for audit.
Second.
Carrie and John, discussion. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
And the Treasurer's Report is filed for audit. On to bills and salaries.
I'll move to approve those salaries.
Second.
John and Annie. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
Having no unfinished business, we move to new business item A, board to discuss the fiscal year 21 per capita grant requirements.
Julia, you're muted.
Julia is muted.
Thank you. Guess it helps. I believe I sent out an updated agenda with item A being just discussing the library services during the pandemic. So if we don't mind, jump into that one first. That was, yeah, no problem, Jason. That was attached to that email. I might not have made it clear. So I did want to put that as an agenda item to formally discuss that with the board. So some context for that, although I know you know all of the context, but you know, when tier three happened back November 20th, statewide, we jumped back to curbside service, allowing residents in for computer access, notary appointments and such. And so when last week, when the governor started talking about lifting tier three mitigations, you know, as a staff, we started talking about what that would look like for us. We didn't meet that criteria in the first round. And then as I sent you all that update, I believe yesterday or the day before, my days are kind of jumbling together. So it might've been the day before, where they slightly tweaked some things. And so we did technically meet tier two criteria. So we are in tier two. So I do believe that we probably will kind of go back and forth between tier two and tier three as far as the metrics go, because there's so many metrics and we're just really right on the cusp for a few of those. So originally when I put this on the agenda, it was before we had been announced that we were in tier two. And so what I wanted to talk to you about was what we as a staff have discussed as far as what our service model could look like when we reopen. And then also talk to you, because we are technically in tier two, what we are, you know, what we would like, when we would like to reopen, and get your feedback on both of those points. So my ultimate goal for this, well, my ultimate goal is to keep everyone healthy and safe, but my ultimate goal as far as service goes is to find a service level that we can offer and hopefully maintain, even if we bounce back and forth between the two tiers, because obviously for many reasons, we can't jump back and forth between curbside and in-person and for patrons and staff alike. So we wanted to find that service that we could offer now. And then even if there was some tier jumping, we just maintain that. So, and obviously in the future, if things get bad again, if there's a statewide change, then we would discuss that with you about if we had to push the pause button. So with all that being said, the service model that we are suggesting that we go with is allowing folks in for browsing visits, but asking them to keep those brief. So, and defining what that means. So keeping their browsing visits to 30 minutes or less. Because I think when we say brief, that means very different things to a lot of our patrons. And so if we can define that for them, that might help. We already allow our residents to use computers for an hour a day. So we would continue with that. And then really trying to keep staff, I mean, we can't keep them completely off the floor, but keep them at their service points as much as possible. And they would be there to answer quick questions, reader's advisory and reference. But if there was some sort of more in-depth research question or, you know, in-depth reference, that we would still have our virtual services and staff would still be available by phone to answer those and help people through that, like we have been for the past couple months. And the same with the computers. We've been doing the remote, staff have been remoting in to computers over there to help folks. And I think there's a lot of skepticism as to, you know, whether that would work in the beginning. And I think overall it really worked well. In most cases, staff said most of the questions people have are very quick, like how do I print or how do I get this in color? And so they're able to pop on from the office, remote in and do that for them. We do, of course, if there's a photocopier issue, you know, the actual machine is there's a problem or login, then we do run over, but we do try to keep those brief because we want staff to be, the exposure to be limited. And so we would also maintain curbside service. So we would change those hours slightly. We looked at the stats to see when our busiest hours were. We made, you know, some decisions about that. It'd be great if we could offer it all the hours were open while doing everything else, but it's just a staffing issue because it's a whole different service point to staff. So, and then let me make sure I didn't miss anything there. So that's the service model that we were proposing. Managers have talked that through with the staff. There's been a few questions or, you know, you know, wanting to talk through a few of their points of concern, which really had more to do with being out on the floor, especially if, you know, I think there's some nervousness about the new variants that, you know, might be coming our way. And so making sure we're setting patron expectations as soon as we reopen so that we don't look like further down the road, if things get bad again, that we're just like, you know, changing things again. So, and with that one, what we did decide with upstairs is because their desk is kind of just in the middle of the open floor. We were going to move them. We were going to set up a temporary work desk for them right at the top of the stairs, as if, and where you would make a right into the meeting room. So put some tables there, put their sneeze guards there. And that way they have, behind them is covered. They could actually open the meeting room doors, open the windows in the meeting room. They'd have circulation. And so they'd still be available to people as they came up the stairs or out the elevator would see staff. We would say hello, you know, help them answer their questions. But they wouldn't feel like they were kind of out in the middle of the floor out there. So with that being said, that's our service model that we're proposing, one we think we can maintain even with blips kind of up and down. Even if, I think even today when I looked, technically one of our metrics was off, and so we would be back in tier three. I don't know how the governor's doing it, if he's, how often he's gonna change what they officially declare your region to be in. It seems really hard for, I would think, for any organization to have to make those changes on a daily basis. So this is what we're proposing. And we did plan on Friday, on reopening on Friday. So as far as neighboring libraries go, almost all are between Thursday, sounds like Woodridge is opening Thursday, between that and there's a few next week. And then there's some that are planning a week from Monday, which is technically February 1st. So everyone is kind of in the same boat, pulling back a little, making decisions for their, you know, based on their needs in their community. Some aren't going to do computer access at all because that's just too hard for them with in person. So everyone's making slight adjustments just based on their staff and the community. So this is, I just wanted to talk this through with everyone, get your feedback, answer questions if there are any, make sure we're all on the same page. And the staff, even with those who have asked questions and brought issues up, have repeatedly said how appreciative they are to be part of the conversation and that they felt they've always been part of the conversation. So, and they did, if several of them wanted me to share, actually two of them, because there wasn't that many conversations, but they did want me to share that with the board as well, that they've always felt supported from the board. So I did say I would pass that on.
Julia? Yes. Would we limit the number of people coming into the library?
Yes, good question, John. We do have that in there. And we also, I don't know if anyone noticed in the director's report, we just installed this week, we got a new people counter. And so that's installed in our lobby and it's really awesome and it gives us live occupancy. So I have that on my phone and it actually alerts me, it tells me live how many people are in the building. So we can set that and it will alert you if you're getting close to your capacity. I don't think it's going to be a problem. Our foot traffic, you know, we keep talking about what it looked like before when we were open. Our foot traffic was so slow. The vast majority of people, and this was for all libraries, you know, that I talked to, the vast majority of people coming in, it is literally grab and go. It's coming into the lobby to grab their items, or it's walking to the DVDs or the game section, grabbing it and leaving. So, but yes, we are going to watch that. Brittany and I will be here every day for the first week to watch it. And if we get, you know, I think if it's going to happen, it will happen rather soon. Well, we'll know that there's like an explosion of people coming in. And so we'll handle it and then know for the future if we had to do it, how we would, you know, talk managers and, you know, through that process. So.
Are you still getting any negative feedback from patrons, or has everyone pretty much determined that this is the way it is and the complaints have dropped off? You'd mentioned a couple of people expressing irritation with the current system.
So since we've last talked, I think it's only two that we've, one was an email response to our e-newsletter asking us to grow up, well, not asking, telling us to grow up and to open. So that was just a general response to that. And then we did have one of our managers had a conversation with a patron just asking, you know, when are we going to open, because their children really need to browse. So we did go through all the things we can offer, you know, the book bundles, the RA, the, you know, all those things. They just weren't overly happy with those options, just really wanted to browse. And the managers, I totally understand that there are some people who do. And they just wanted to let us know that they were upset about that. So that's all that's been reported to me.
Any other comments or feedback to Julia's proposal?
I like the idea of going with something that you can stick with, just so the staff have something to, an understanding of like the predictability of it. I know part of what's been difficult for our family through all this is just not knowing what happens next week and what happens the week after. And so if you can offer staff what the model is going to look like, I think that should, that's something you can offer them. That's a positive and they can make their plans.
Julia, just a quick question, and I'm a little bit out of touch with Illinois. So will our staff get priority on the vaccination when it is made available by any chance?
Yeah, so it's actually county by county. And some counties have said that library staff will be in 1B. Mm-hmm. We're going on that we'll be in 1C.
Okay.
So, yeah. The Illinois Library Association actually has been campaigning for that with the legislators with the public health officials to get us in a higher category. So it looks like 1C. DuPage County, if they decide to put us in 1B, then we would be in 1B. So, yeah.
And is there any role for the board in terms of advocating for that to the DuPage County? Because I think that makes a lot of, brings back the confidence among the staff that once they're vaccinated, they'll be much more open to, opening in a normal fashion. But I would generally err on the side of caution. So I would even say that wait till February 1st to open, because the way things I have seen in other state where I am right now, especially in the LA County and other places, it has really gone bad.
Yeah.
Based on that observation,
Yeah, I know. It's such a tricky, they're just like heavy decisions and so tricky. And so, yeah, some libraries are waiting till February 1st. I guess my issue with that then is, what if the metrics are worse by then? What's the messaging there, or would we make different decisions if the metrics were worse then?
Metrics become worse, then you are forced to follow the recommendations. I think this is where the metrics are sort of in between, right? You are it's pretty hard to make the call whether we should go with that tier or we should just wait. But in general, I'm okay with whatever recommendations you and staff come up with, but my overall recommendation will be to err on the side of a little bit more conservatism and maybe wait for another week or two. Still, the vulnerable population gets vaccinated, especially the 65 and above. Because that's the clientele that I have seen mostly coming in to browse the computer and sitting there for extended period of time.
We are removing all seating, zero seating. So not even newspapers. We had the newspapers out last time. And so folks were able to sit down and, quickly browse the newspapers. We're not going to allow that. I hear what you're saying, Rajesh. And the new, the new variants too with that, those coming into play, that's a little nerve wracking as well. So really, we're just trying to find that balance of keeping everyone safe, but still offering the services we can. And in some sort of, you know, balanced way. So yeah, so I don't know if anyone else has.
So the public schools in Westmont just opened up in the hybrid model today. And I mean, I am kind of expecting things to go back up because things are starting to open up. But it, like you were saying, it's just going to keep going back and forth and back and forth. So it's really hard to know, you know, do you make the change now or do you make the change later? I think I agree with Rajesh that if, you know, by February 1st, things are significantly worse, you would have to go back to the curbside model. Like it wouldn't be sustainable, you know, if the metrics really push us back. And if we're anticipating that, and that's just the hardest thing about this is that we don't really know what to anticipate. Because I mean, I was honestly shocked that they did open the schools. They'd been saying they were going to open on the 19th, and I couldn't believe that the metrics had held and that they actually could do that. So yeah, I mean, I think I would defer to you and trust your judgment in when you think, it makes sense to open, but it's, you know, the back and forth, it's just going to keep moving back and forth. But to Regis's other point about, is there something that we as a board can do to advocate for the staff and for library workers in general to be classed along with grocery store employees and teachers? I would be very interested in knowing what we as a board could do to advocate for that. And I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, there is a letter that ILA put together, a template letter. I can forward that. It would have to be altered a little bit, especially when Jason got his hands on it. But we would make it, you know, specific. It's pretty generic because every public library is making decisions for their own, you know, we're all in different places, right? And it's all over the state. So some are wide open and some aren't. So I could at least do a little work on that. So it's more reflective of what services we are offering. And there was, you know, a good point about it that it advocating either way could work. You could say we are open and therefore we should be, or you could say, you know, we need to open because these are the services that we do offer. And so, you know, staff who are put on the front lines should be vaccinated or, you know, on a priority list. So in that way, it's kind of a clever way of drafting the letter, so it would work for either way. So if the board is interested in that, I can definitely you know, make some notes on it and send it if you wanted to review it. And
yes, please.
Okay, so I will do that and send it, and then Jason will probably, like I said, Jason might have to do some work on it.
Considering this is our first week back to school, I'm primed to do some work, so.
Okay, so I will do that. Is there anyone else who wanted to?
Julia, I just want to mention one other thing we talked about with marketing this per se, is we wouldn't really do like a big hurrah, like social media post or anything like that. Really just knowing that the next kind of 10 days to 2 weeks would be kind of a telltale of what's going on. We wouldn't want to make too much of a hurrah, we're open about this. It's just more that we will be open. We can have signage in the building to kind of make sure those expectations are met, but that if for some reason something did happen, you know, we wouldn't have put this in the e-newsletter and in the newsletter and in all of these other places.
I think Brittany said we were going to tiptoe into it. But also, Brittany, it's signs, not signage.
Ah, I did say it. Oh, Jason's coming after me. I've gotten really good at not saying it with marketing, but it slipped.
Yeah.
Notice though, I'm so good at Zoom, you never knew that I actually was raging inside. So
next time I do a curbside pickup for you, you're just gonna throw something at me, like, yes.
I will say on a more serious note, the one thing that makes me more comfortable about doing this is remembering prior to our recent switch back, the times that we came into the library, it was almost always the only two, maybe two other people in the entire building at the time. So I'm not, especially since we're tiptoeing, I don't see a mad rush, a huge crowd, lines outside waiting to get in like you see at some stores. I think that most people will generally stay away the way they have been. And if we're not overt about what we're doing, that will help. If they happen to stumble up and notice that people are coming in and they come in, then that's how they find out. Huh?
Yes.
Sorry.
A meeting.
You want me to come back? I'll come back.
Well, whatever is best.
I'll come back. I don't want to interrupt you. I'll come back.
Yes,
take
Jason.
Take care of him.
staff have reminded ourselves of that numerous times, that, you know, for the 5 months we were wide open, the foot traffic was just so slow. So I think there were just a lot of people that were just self, you know, opting out of coming in. And we will continue curbside. I mean, for the most part, I mean, we're cutting down hours a little bit, but it's, and remind me, Brittany, because we had so many different variations, but I think it's 11 to 5, Monday through Friday. Saturday was half a day. So there's still a wide, you know, range of curbside hours available for people to encourage that. So with that said, I will bring that feedback back to the management team. We have a manager meeting in the morning where we can discuss it further and make some decisions. And if that sounds good to you all, and then we'll obviously keep you posted on what we're doing. So, okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate the feedback. It helps a lot.
All right. If nothing else, then now on to new business, board to discuss the fiscal year 21 per capita grant requirements. Oh, now somebody else needs to drink.
That's from talking. I'm not used to talking because I live alone. Just talk to my dog here and you know, so. yes, so this is really just a formality. And it's, you know, as I emailed you guys what is required, it's pretty straightforward. So you got a digital copy of Serving Our Public 4.0. You just have to read it in its entirety. There are the checklists in each chapter that outline the standards, and we mark off if we meet them. If we don't meet them, that doesn't mean we aren't eligible for the grant. It just means we need to, in our grant application, explain the steps we're taking as an organization to meet those standards. So that's really pretty much the extent of the whole application itself. So next month, what we will provide to you in the board packets is those checklists with them checked off or not, and where we are as far as working towards those standards if we don't meet them. So, and then next month we will, you know, you will review those. And if there's questions, you know, like, hey, I didn't know we did this, or, you know, questions about those we don't meet, we'll have that discussion. And that's really all that we have to do. And then I fill out the application and we submit that by March 15th. So just wanted to go through that in case there was any questions. Sorry it was so delayed. That Serving Our Public was, it's like classic state of Illinois. They tell us we have to read the whole thing and submit an application in this back order until like a month before it's due. So that's that.
All right, thank you. New business item C, board to consider a motion to approve the borrower registration policy.
So moved.
Second.
That was Carrie and Elaine. Discussion.
Yes, so you have a draft of the borrower, I have a hard time saying that word, borrower registration policy. In my notes, I explained that there was some updates to the local Illinois Local Public Library Act. And so they incorporated some of these changes and really just has to do with populations in our non-resident unincorporated areas. And they've identified some populations that they want to have access to a library card without having to pay for those non-resident fees. So the language in this policy really is kind of grabbed right from the law and the alerts that we got. So if for the non-resident youth, It's saying that anyone in the unincorporated area who lives in a household at or below the U.S. Department of Agriculture's income eligibility guidelines is eligible for, that student is eligible for a library card with us at no cost, and may only be used by the cardholder, valid for a year, and then can continue to be renewed. So, and then for the veterans, it's very similar. So if they live in the unincorporated area, they are exempt from paying property taxes due to service-connected disability of at least 70%. They are eligible for a library card from us at no cost. Their spouses as well. So pretty straightforward. There were rules that, you know, once the law is passed, they create rules. And the rules are right now in the public comment. I believe they're still in the public comment period. So we, Brittany and I and most other library folks attended a Zoom meeting with folks from the Illinois State Library, and they went through those rules with us. So once those are finalized, so they're in the public comment period now, they collect the comments, they adjust, they release a second set of rules, and there's a second public comment, and then they're codified. That will be later this spring. So the rules explain to us how we would actually make this work. So for the students, the school would actually give them a document saying they're eligible for the free lunch program, because that's the same criteria that they use for the Department of Agriculture's income eligibility. The school would give them a letter. They would bring that letter to us. So because there's a lot of concern, you know, library staff don't want to be looking at people's finances and figuring out if they're meeting that income eligibility and things like that. So if they're eligible for the free lunch program at the school, they get a letter from the school, they bring it to us, we give them that card. The same with the veterans, they get a letter from the county saying that they are exempt from property taxes. So they would just show us that. So there's some other rules that go along with it. It's kind of interesting, then it goes by the school. So we would give any student in the unincorporated area for Westmont schools, even if they lived in Westmont, if they went to a Downer school, they would get a Downer's card. So there's some little nuances to it, but Brittany knows it all. I'm just kidding. We just thrown her under the bus. We do have all those rules. And so we'll make sure staff know how that all works. So, and then I just included just a couple other tweaks, added to the non-resident, made those household library cards just to make it a little clearer the difference between the other two non-resident cards, and then just making it more consistent, say in the temporary residence, that it's within the boundaries of the taxing district. So.
Will the students need to request these letters?
Yeah, so we're gonna work with the schools. We're going to communicate out to the schools about this so that they know. You know, some libraries are going to actually kind of do a campaign and, you know, that. I know the schools are a little overwhelmed right now, so we haven't reached out to them about that. But it is on our to-do list relatively soon to let the schools know. So, yeah, they would just give them the letter saying this student is eligible for the, you know, free lunch program, and then they would just bring it to us. So it should be pretty straightforward. I think especially the students over here at Miller, there will be some there, and they would be appreciated. So
again, about the student cards, it's mm-hmm. It says it's only to be used by the student, but there wouldn't be any limits on what the student could check out. Right, it would
correct.
Be you okay
yeah. Correct yeah so it's all the same. It doesn't mean that they're not, I mean, they're still, it's the same rules as far as, you know, if they lose an item, they're still, you know, liable for those things and stuff like that. But yeah, no limits, same, just regular card.
Any other comments or feedback? Roll call, please.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
Okay, so just to remind everyone before we move to adjournment, we'll be adjourning this. Then you will need to go find your separate link for the executive session. So don't forget, there's still a part two, and we get everybody back in for our final portion of the meeting. So do we need to read the executive session information into this meeting, or do we read it at the beginning of the recording of the next one?
I think we can read it aloud now. Okay. You can, sorry, I don't have my agenda in front of me. We can, you know, say we're adjourning the regular session to go into executive session for this purpose.
And then have somebody make the motion.
Yeah.
Okay. So first, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
John and Elaine. Probably no discussion. Roll call, please.
Sorry, I was muted. Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
So we are adjourned out of regular session at 7:43 p.m. Do I hear a motion for executive session?
Move to enter executive session. Amy, read the whole thing?
Yes, we.
Yeah. All right. Usually it's John. John, you want to read it?
Give him a break.
I don't have it.
I'll give you a break.
Heather, I have you in the minutes already, so please keep going.
Okay, here we go. Okay. According to Illinois Compiled Statutes, the Fifth Illinois Compiled Statutes 120-2, each public body shall periodically, but no less than semi-annually, meet to review minutes of all closed meetings. At such meetings, a determination shall be made and reported in open session that 1, the need for confidentiality still exists as to all or part of those minutes, or 2, that the minutes or portions thereof no longer require confidential treatment and are available for public inspection. At the February 2021 board meeting, the library board will report on the need for confidentiality for executive session minutes, or if minutes or portions of minutes no longer require confidential treatment and are therefore available for public inspection.
Thank you. Let's do a roll call publicly on this as well, and then we'll leave this and go to the other.
Was there a second on that? I missed it.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, there was Heather who read it, and
second.
Rajesh will second.
Thank you. Discussion.
Okay, now we're ready. Sorry.
Trustee Booth?
Yes.
Trustee Carmichael?
Yes.
Secretary Delano?
Yes.
Vice President Martins?
Yes.
Treasurer O'Connor?
Yes.
Trustee Parikh?
Yes.
President Fichtel?
Yes.
7 ayes, 0 nays, motion passes.
And we are going into executive session at 7:45 p.m. Thank you.